David is here. I have to thank David because he not only learns Torah, but he wanted everyone else to learn Torah also. So he organized the donuts, and that's the biggest chus. When you have chus harabim, that's the biggest chus you can have. So we should all follow in his footsteps, and always, there's not the only thing he does, but all the things he does in order to get enhance the yeshiva, and ruchnius and gashmius is something, a good example to follow. So just first a general word about Chanukah, and then more specific. Chanukah is a very interesting chag, even though it's not really a chag. We don't bring a carbon chagiga on Chanukah, but they call it a chag. It's a very interesting holiday. If we're going to call it Hanukkah, we'll call it a holiday. If we call it Chanukah, we'll call it a holiday. It's a very interesting holiday because it really has a lot of contemporary meaning. Really, it was a war of cultures, which is there's a German word, Kulturkampf, a war of cultures between our culture and their culture, and they weren't trying to destroy our culture, they were just trying to mix in our culture with their culture. That's why Rav Huttner points out in the Pachad Yitzchak, one of the good Chanukah books to learn, that we went to different Galios. We went to Mitzrayim, we went to Babylonia, Bavel, Paras and Madai, that was the Purim story, Edom, that's the one we're in now. So we don't find Misbavlim, people who became like the Babylonians. Like the Babylonians wanted to crush Jewish skulls, like that was it. You don't find Mismatzrim. The Egyptians weren't trying to make us into Egyptians. But you do find Misyavnim, which means that they were Jews, but they were Greekified. They were trying to say, no, you could be Jewish, but you could also be Greek at the same time. It's not a stira. Today they have Rahman al-Tzlan, but they have like a Buddhist Jews. You know, you're Jewish, and you're also a Buddhist. You know, you don't follow the first or second commandment of Anochi and Lo Yelecha, but Seder, maybe you honor your father and mother. You know, maybe on Shabbos you eat kugel. They don't have a problem with that, the Buddhists. You can eat kugel on Shabbos. You know, it's as long as it was never a living being. It was a born dead, this kugel. So kugel is actually the gematria of my name. My name is Elchanan. It's gematria 139, just like kugel. And Elchanan is also, Eli Ginsburg is also, 100 gematria is 139. So my wife's name is the gematria 141, which is the gematria of Kola, Kuvav Lamed Hey. So when Kogo marries Kola, it's not going to be healthy, but it's going to be tasty. So the point is that they were trying to make us into them. So they have Buddhist Jews. They have Jews for Yashka. Jews for Yashka, be Jewish. You know, they have these messianic congregations. Yes, I'm not referring to 770. I'm referring to the bad messianics. Yes, those are the good messianics. They want the real Mashiach, whoever he may be. Some of them think they know. I have my doubts, but whoever it is. I don't care if it's him. If it's, you know, there used to be a Rebbe Rav Shach, Rav Menachem Mendel Shach, Rav Menachem Man Shach. That was his name. And Rav the Shlubavitcher was Rav Menachem Mendel Schneerson. So they used to say Mashiach is coming, but Karov Mamish. What is because so they had a big thing awry. They had a big quarrel about various hashkafic issues, which when I was in Shana Aleph, Shana Bet, like all of Israel was, all the Jewish world was talking about it. So now they're sitting in Shemayim, they're learning B'chavrusa, they start Seder, they learn Tanya together, which is a Lubavitch Sefer, then they learn Nefesh HaChayim, which is a Litvish Sefer. But back then they had a big argument, and so people say, Mashiach is coming with Karav Mamish. Mamish is Rosh Yetevus, Menachem Mendel Schneerson, and Menachem Man Shach. It could be both. So we say, we don't care who he is, the important thing is that Mashiach should come, that he should come Bakar of Mamish. So they have these messianic congregations, and they wear talesim, and they read from the Torah, and they try to make it Jewish, but it's Christian. It's not really Jewish. So what modern culture is trying to do to us is they're trying to say, you could be Jews, so if you come to the game, then we're going to give you kosher food stands. So we have people go to the game, they're comfortable. We're just like them, we're no different. I once went not so long ago, I was on a little bit of a kiruv task that I had to fulfill. So I took a kid, I got tickets to a Knicks game. Knicks, if you guys probably don't know, so you're so busy learning, but it's basically oversized men with big muscles wearing underwear, showing everybody their armpits and jumping up and down for 2 hours. Maybe you've seen it. So it was $150 a ticket, so I got two tickets. I got them for free. I wasn't paying for them. I'm thinking, 1,000 shekel for this? You know, I was thinking of scalping the tickets, but I thought that would defeat the purpose. You know, I'm a little bit Hasidic. I like the scalp, but not the different type of scalping. So I went to the game, and I saw a lot of yarmulkes, a lot of covered hair. You know, women with their husbands, boyfriends, whatever it was, and the frum people. And I was like, well, I mean, I know what I'm doing here. Like, but what are you guys doing here? My father-in-law was a Lubavitcher chassid for a while. So we're talking about Lubavitch. So when the Lubavitcher Rebbe had a heart attack in 1978, I think it was, the Simchas Torah had a heart attack. So my father-in-law heard of it. He was living in Cleveland at the time. Now he lives near Givat Shaul, a place called Har Menuchos. Heard of that? That's where he lives. he moved, but at the time he was in Cleveland. So he was. So the Rebbe died, and he flew to New York. He wanted to treat the Rebbe. He was a doctor at the time, but where he is now, you don't need doctors anymore. It's a good place. So he had to go to New York. So he went to New York, and he gets into the taxi. He goes from the airport. Pikuach Nefesh. The Rebbe had a heart attack. So he gets in the taxi, and he had a Jewish driver. So the driver said, to him, you know, you're a religious man. Like, what are you taking a taxi for on Yontif? So he was a Jewish driver. So he said, you know, I know I am going. Like, what are you driving your taxi for on Yontif? You know, so I know I was at the game, but why were they at the game? So the answer is, it's because we're Miss Americanim. Not Miss Americans, we're not beauty pageant winners. But like Miss Yavnim, you have people who become like Greeks. So we're Miss Americanim. We're like Americans. We go to the game. We go to seventh inning stretch. I used to watch Mets games. There was always like a Chabad guy. Again, third time already we're on Lubavitch. So there was a guy, maybe I'm sitting in Burke's seat, maybe that's it. There was a guy I used to watch. He always used to sit behind the catcher when I'd watch Mets games. So, you know, you'd see this guy with a big beard coming to every game. And I'm not. I have my doubts as to whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be assimilated into the general culture. So back then, the Jews wanted to be like Greeks, and today they also want to. And same thing with secular wisdom. You know, they wanted the Jewish people to study. Not only that's why it says, by the way, Timu Kol Hashmanim Shebehechol. They didn't get rid of the oil; they contaminated them. They said you can have your oil, but have it with a Greek flavor to it. So. You know, they also want to tell us, you know, you could be Jewish, you could learn Torah, but go. You study in university just like us. You can study biblical criticism just like us. You go to art schools. We're going to have in every college, they have a Hillel house. You could feel at home. They have a Jewish, what do you call those things, fraternities. So all of these things are very, very dangerous because we feel we're comfortable, we're Jewish. And then we can also have the rest of the world also. And what Hanukkah is about is being 100% Jewish. We're not mixtures. We're against assimilation. And that doesn't mean that one shouldn't enjoy playing sports. And that doesn't mean one shouldn't have a good time. And it doesn't mean one shouldn't smile and laugh. But it does mean that we should always do it in a Jewish way. Rav Moshe Feinstein once came to interview. And I really thought I'd get to the Hanukkah shiur much quicker, but we'll get there. What I really wanted to say, Rav Moshe Feinstein once came to test a group of boys in school. So he said, "All right, children, what do you do in your free time?" So one of the kids said, "Mir spielt ball. We play ball." And like American kids, that's what they do in their free time. So Moshe Feinstein smiled, and he goes, You can spiel ball as much as you want. Aber wie Yidden, nicht wie Goyim. Play ball like Jews. You don't have to scream. You don't have to curse. You can play ball like Jews. You don't have to play ball like Gentiles. Also a Jewish way of playing. What's the Jewish way of playing ball? You're running in for a layup. You're ahead of the field and your yarmulke falls off. And instead of going in for the layup, you go to pick up your yarmulke and use the easy layup. Yes, that's the Jewish way of playing ball. So we should keep in mind on Hanukkah that it continues to this day. And a lot of what Greek culture represented is very, very prominent in the world today. And we shouldn't get sucked into that. And that doesn't mean, again, you have to live in the world. You have to make a living, and you want to influence society as well. But it's good to have a Rebbe to consult with him as to where you should live and what type of home you should have and the type of technologies you allow in your home and for your children. So we all know how much we're addicted to the technology. You can ask yourself if you want your children to be like you were, or maybe you want them to be a little bit better. I remember when I was making my decisions for life, I thought that, you know, as well as my parents try to raise me, but given, you know, living, I grew up in Midtown Manhattan. So, you know, being raised in Manhattan, I thought to myself that it wouldn't, you know, I didn't necessarily want that for my children. So I hope I try to upgrade them a little bit. So you can try to think about that for yourself as well. That's the hakdama number one about Hanukkah in general. Hakdama number two, preface number two, is that we view Hanukkah as one whole. Like there are 8 days of Hanukkah, it's one block. But the truth is that every day has different meaning. The first day represents something different than the second day, and the second day than the third day. The third day is different than the fourth day. It's not just one big holiday of Hanukkah, it's also one big holiday of Hanukkah, but each day means something different. So for example, when you daven, it's like this in every area of Yiddishkeit. When you daven Shachris, you say Shemoneh Esrei, right? When you daven Mincha, you're saying the same Shemoneh Esrei, right? Wrong. The Shemoneh Esrei of Mincha is not the Shemoneh Esrei of Shachris. Why do we daven Mincha? Who ordained Mincha?
Yitzchak.
What's the name of the tefillah? Mincha. Who ordained Shachris?
Abraham.
What's the name of the tefillah? Shachris. So it's a different name. It's a different essence. When you're saying, you might go to the Siddur and have the same Shemoneh Esrei, so if you happen to open up to a Shachris Shemoneh Esrei and you're at Mincha, you can just say it. You're going to have the same exact words, but it's a different feeling. It's a different emotion. Because this is not Shachris, it's Mincha. And it's not Mincha, it's Maariv. Maariv also means something different. Every tefillah is something different. Not only that, but every Shabbos is something different. We think, oh, it's all the same Shabbos. No. Every Shabbos, every week is blessed from Shabbos. So this past Shabbos was all of Hanukkah was blessed from this Shabbos. My name is Baruch and Kol Shisi Yomen. So you have to focus on Shabbos. What's going to be the upcoming week? The whole week is blessed by Shabbos. Also, what's the Parsha? What we're reading on that Shabbos, that's the focus of that Shabbos. You're supposed to, Tzaddikim say, you live with the Parsha. So every Shabbos is supposed to be a different experience. No two Shabbosim are the same. It also goes like that with days. We say Hayom Yom Rishon. Rishon isn't Sheni. In Kabbalah they say the first day is Chesed, and the second day is Gevura, and the third day is Teferis. Every day represents something different. And at every part of the year, we have summer, spring, winter, fall, and different parashiyos and different holidays. We just came off Thanksgiving, then we went into Hanukkah, and then it's going to be coming into Purim. And each month represents something different, and that's why we're Jews. We don't count by the sun; we count by the moon. What does the pasuk say about the sun? Ein kol chadash tachat hashemesh. There's nothing new under the sun. The goyim count by the sun; it's always the same. It's the same every year, it's the same team, same standings, same everything, same job. They go to the same job for 50 years until they can retire. I once had an elevator man in my building for like 30, 35 years, a nice Hispanic man named Tommy. So finally he reached 65, he was waiting all these years for his pension, he could finally retire. So my mother said to him, so Tommy, what are you going to do now? He said, nothing. That's been my dream. I'm moving down to Orlando, Florida, and I'm going to spend the rest of my life doing nothing. Until he dies, at which point he's also going to be doing nothing. So he's really preparing himself. And you see, like a Jew, like does anybody have that dream? No, I want to get to a point in life where I just want to do nothing. So usually we feel that way at about 7:30 in the morning when we're woken up. But as far as plans for life, we don't want to do nothing. We want to have a family, we want to be successful, we constantly want to grow in learning, we want to do another mesechta, we want to expand ourselves, we want to make new friends, we want to give tzedakah, we want to do new mitzvahs, we want to, you know, and then children and grandchildren. And then when you retire, what do Jews do when they retire? It's an amazing thing. You go to most communities, they have kollel for retirees, and you see these guys 60, 70, 80, 90 years old sitting and learning, and every day they spend 2, 3, 4 hours learning. Some guys, you know, go to 3 daf yomi shiurim a day. They have free time, they can finally learn. You know, they spend time with their family. But this guy's dream, I just want to do nothing. You know, he's going to wake up. I think about him all the time. He took me, you know, because even though we were in a very, high rent, high maintenance building, but they obviously assumed that we were smart enough to make money, but too stupid to press their own buttons on the elevator. So they needed to bring an elevator man to press. Tommy, that'll be 9, please. And like, I don't know which one that is, Tommy. Do you know 9? So he wasn't smart enough to make so much money, but he knew where the elevator. I hope he's not listening to this year if it's recorded. But no, but he's not. He can't be. He's doing nothing. What?
I think it's my father.
Well, your father knows the numbers.
He's the elevator man, and he just moved to Florida when he's now.
So you press the button. So this thing, like, he gets up in the morning and he, like, eats his breakfast. Okay, it's a good breakfast. He has a nice pension, so he can afford a nice breakfast. He's a Yankees fan, so he sees what the Yankees did last night. And then he realizes that, oh man, it's the off season. What am I going to do now? So what is he going to do now? So every day is different, and therefore you can never make up a day. Every day has potential. And if you didn't take advantage of today, tomorrow has different potential. In Kabbalah, they call it every day has different auras. So if you didn't do today's, fulfill your task today, then tomorrow you can't fulfill today's task. Tomorrow there's no doubles. There's no makeups. Like in college, you have makeups for tests. There's no makeups in Yiddishkeit. If you missed Monday, you can't make it up on Tuesday. So there's a concept of tshuva, that is true. But as far as kumvaseh, as far as doing things, it's, you know, you missed it, the learning you were supposed to do. Opportunities that you had on that day that'll never reappear. Every day is filled with new opportunities. So you can never waste the light of that day. So we have understanding of the pasuk. The pasuk is of Avram Sakain, Baba Yamim. So what does the Zohar say? He took all of his Yamim with him to Shemayim. It was never a wasted day. And every day is a garment. And they're going to go up to Shemayim, says the Zohar, and they're going to see, like, what did you do with this day? So we see every day as a different mahus, a different cheftzah. So instead of talking about Hanukkah in general, which I thought of doing, I decided just to talk about what tonight is going to be. Tonight is going to be the third night of Hanukkah. So those, what? Right, last night was the second night. You know, the Baal Tshuva comes home, and he asks his wife what they're having for dinner. So she says, last night we had spaghetti and meatballs. You know, because it was Sfiras Omer. So, you know, you're not supposed to say the name of the day. So you say, last night we had. So last night we lit the second candle. And tonight, we're going to light the third candle. So I thought we would talk about Du Hachana for Hadlaka tonight. So I go to the, if you ever want to have an experience, so you should go to a Hasidic Hadlakas Neiros. They have all the Hasidiyos have it. They have pictures of them all over the place in all the Haredi magazines. And the halakha can take a half hour, an hour and a half, 2 hours. So you're going to say, what takes so long? So the answer is, they sing a lot. The Rebbe says a lot of Torah. And the Rebbe sometimes gives out things. He gives out Shirayim. And something like they take halakha snares very seriously. What? So where I go also, it's, you know, it's called 7:30. It's like a Hasidic 7:30. So it starts at about 8:10, and it goes until about 9:30. You know, they're singing, and then every night the Rebbe says Torah, and every year the Rebbe has a mahalach, the Tolna Rebbe, where he takes you through Hanukkah, and each day represents something else. Every year there's a certain theme, and then he explains every day based on that theme. For example, this year, His sons found in a sefer, they showed him that a certain tzaddik who was killed in the Holocaust, he said he heard from a tzaddik that every day of Hanukkah corresponds to another one of the holidays. So the first day of Hanukkah is the first day of Pesach, and the second day of Hanukkah is Shvi Shel Pesach, and the third day of Hanukkah is Shavuos, and then Sukkot, and Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur. So that's his theme this year. So that's what last night he spoke about Shvi Shel Pesach and Kriyas Yamsuf and how it relates to the second day of Pesach. So I could tell you what he said last night, but we're going on to the third night, and I have no Ruach HaKodesh what he's going to say tonight. So I'll tell you what he said eleven years ago. He went according to Yotzer HaMaoros. That's the tzaddikim say that each day of Chanukah, so Yotzer HaMaoros creates lights, and lights is Chanukah, right? Or Chadash al Tzion Torah, that's the new light, the hidden light of Chanukah, and that's connected what we say in Yotzer HaMaoros. What do we say in Yotzer HaMaoros? Ki hu levado po'el gvuros. That's the first day, is po'el gvuros. The second day is Osa Chadashos. The third day is Baal Milchamos. The fourth day is Zareya Tzedakos. The fifth day is Matzmiach Yeshuas, etc. So the truth is, I thought we'd get through a few days, but we'll just do Baal Milchamos. So those who come to our pre-Mariv Divrei Hesorus, so we already started the Baal Milchamos. So we'll review what we did, and we'll move forward and learn a little bit more about Baal Milchamos. Again, the third day of Chanukah is Ki hu levado po'el gvuros, that Hashem does strength. That's the first day. Oseh Chadashos, he makes new things. That's the second day of Chanukah. And then the third day of Chanukah is he's Baal Milchamos. God is the man of wars. God is in charge of wars. So the word Baal Mulchamos, the gematria of Baal Mulchamos, where do you see the third day of Hanukkah alluded to in Baal Mulchamos? Baal Mulchamos is gematria shalosh with the osios and the kolal. In other words, we add three for the letters and one because you're allowed to add one gematria for the word. So that's the Baal Mulchamos. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Baal Mulchamos. It says in the Pasuk that Hashem ish Mulchama, God is a man of war. Whenever you have a war, so you know that Hashem is behind the war. So the third night of Hanukkah, when my true love gave to me, so we have an opportunity to be a Baal Mulchamos. This is an opportunity to wage war. But in order to win the war, you have to know how to fight. It's the job of the Jew. It says in Chovas Halavavos that somebody once came back from war, and somebody told him that was the easy war. Now you have the hard war. What's the easy war? The easy war is defeating an external enemy. What's the hard war? The hard war is defeating the enemy inside of you. That's why I once saw of Nissen Vachtvogel, who was the Mashkiach in Lakewood. He said, "Why do people like sports? Like, what's the big deal? They put the ball in the basket 45 times. Why don't they just go before the game when nobody's there, sneak into the stadium, yeah, and just keep putting the ball in the basket before the other team comes? Why? Because there's no challenge anymore. People like a challenge. You aren't there to be a defense. If there's no defense, you ever play a game and the other side isn't trying? Doesn't that like so ruin the game? Like, come on, you're not really playing. Like when the other side starts playing defense, you don't want to play anymore. You want them to take the game seriously. So we all like that because you want to have a challenge. You want to overcome a challenge. I see all over Israel. Kids are, I don't know, all over Israel. I'm not going all over Israel. But where I go, I see kids all the time playing with Rubik's Cubes. So like, why are they wasting their time with that? Like for me, I'll just rip off the stickers and put all of them, you know, all of them on the same side. And then you'd have to keep over. And it's a challenge. It's a challenge, a crossword puzzle. People like it. They like to overcome a challenge. So the reason we have that is because we were created to overcome a challenge, but not a challenge of something outside. Something, a challenge that's inside. Our two neshamas, our nefesh habemis, our animal soul, and our godly soul. That's the challenge. Who's going to win? Is our body going to win, or is our soul going to win? That's the challenge. Is our soul going to harness our body for its purposes? Or is our body going to harness our soul for its purposes? That's the challenge. So we have to know how to be a Baal Mulchamos. So what's the first Eitzah in the Mulchama that we have, the Mulchamas HaYetzer? So the Gemara says, the name of Shimon Ben Lakish. What was Reish Lakish's history?
Bandit.
He used to be a bandit, and then one day he's by the river, and he saw a really beautiful girl, and he jumped into the water to get closer to her, and all of a sudden he saw it wasn't a woman, it was Rabbi Yochanan. So he was like, bummer. So Rabbi Yochanan said, that's my words, not his. Rabbi Yochanan said, I have a sister who's much more beautiful than I am, and you can have her if you learn Torah. So he said, it's a deal. And he went, he learned Torah, and you see all over Shas, you know, the two brother-in-laws, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, are going at it.
And then... Oh, by the way, I'm marrying you off to a bandit.
No, I'm marrying you off to one of the holiest Amoraim, who's mentioned in every name of every page of Gemara. That's the highest Madrega. B'makom shetzedek ba'alei tshuva omdim main tzedikim gemurim yucholim lamod. So if anybody here ever did an Avera, so you can be on a much higher Madrega. You know, the Rav goes up to the guy before on Yom Kippur, and he says to him, oh, do I envy you? He says, why do you envy me? He says, because all of a person's Averos turn into mitzvos on Yom Kippur if he does tshuva out of love. So I envy you, because, you know, you have so many Averos, you know, you can turn so many things into mitzvahs. So he said, Rabbi, if you think you envy me this year, you wait till next year and see how much you have then. So we have to know how to wage war. This Mulchemes HaYetzer. So my Rebbe's Rebbe was the Beis Yisrael, the Ger Rebbe. So he asked the name of the Kutzker Rebbe. You can also look in the Shem Yishmuel and Parshas Kisetze in the year Tufresh Pei, which was 1920. That was the Great Depression, because Joe Jackson was caught in a scandal. No, 29 was the Depression. 1919 was the Joe Jackson scandal. Can you follow baseball? The Black Sox. Those were the days. There's a big machlokas amongst the Hasidim. Black Sox or White Sox? I'm going to refer to the White Sox. So it says in the pasuk, it's interesting. It says that when you have a war in your land, you have to blow trumpets, you have to be remembered before God, and then you'll be saved from your enemies. That's a pasuk in Baal Oscha. It says in Dvarim Chaf Aleph and Kiseitse, if you go out to war against your enemy and you win the war, God puts them in your hand. So the Kutzker said, I don't understand. The first time it talks about going to war, when the war comes into your land, so you have to blow trumpets, and you have to be remembered before God, and then you'll be saved from your enemies. That's in Parashas Baal Oscha. So you have to make a big to-do about it. But in Parashas Kiseitse, no. There, it says, when you go out to war, Kiseitse al-Mulcham, when you go out to war, on your enemies, they're going to be given into your hand. There's no Bahareosam, there are no trumpets, there's no being remembered before God. Straight away you win the war. So he said, what's the difference between the two wars? Why is the war in Baal Oscha so much more difficult than the war in Kiseitse? So he answered that in the war in Baal Oscha it says, Kisavo milchama ba'artzichem, which means that they're attacking you. They're coming to your country to attack you. In Parshas Kiseitse, it says, Kiseitse l'molcham alayvecha, you're attacking them, a preemptive strike. So that was the difference between the two wars that we had here in Israel. We had the Six-Day War, which I wasn't around for yet. That was my previous Gilgal. I think I was a soldier who was killed in the war, I like to think. And so at least I feel like I did my stint in the army. I don't feel guilty. and I learned my lesson, you know what I mean? And then the Yom Kippur War, I happened to have been here for the Yom Kippur War. I was actually crying during the Yom Kippur War because I was about a year old. So in the middle of the war, we were in shul. It's a true story. We were in shul. We were davening at the time I was living here. And the sirens went off, and the chayalim left shul, and they went to their bases, and the Arabs, they thought they'd surprise us because it's Yom Kippur, we'd all be in shul. And they made two mistakes. The first mistake they made a mistake in Gashmias, they made a mistake in Ruchnias. Their mistake in Gashmias was that now all the roads were clear, so all the soldiers can just zoom right to their bases. And the mistake in Ruchnias is, don't start with the Yidden on Yom Kippur. So, on the other hand, the Six-Day War, we were more successful than we were in the Yom Kippur War. Yom Kippur War, even in both wars, they, you know, during the Six-Day War, they I remember Anwar Sadat. I remember 1977. They signed a peace treaty with Anwar Sadat, the Prime Minister of Egypt, and he shook hands with Jimmy Carter, and Sadat and Menachem Begin. Everyone's like, "Oh, it's a big thing." They're shaking hands. So Sadat, who was like for us, it was like, oh, we made a peace treaty, we're so happy. Like, he was like the peace lover. So he said that he's going to line the Tel Aviv-Jerusalem highway with Jewish skeletons. Like, that was their plan for the war. And they were preparing body bags. They thought, like, it's going to be the end of us. But the difference is that during the Six-Day War, the reason we were more successful is because we went into their land to fight against them. Whereas in the Yom Kippur War, we were less successful because they came on us. Even though, again, we remained and we still exist. And, you know, there's so many of them who wanted the fact that we're sitting here right now is a miracle. You know, that the guys come to learn on Hanukkah, I'm referring to. Not the miracle of, you guys come to learn your tzaddik, and that's how you come to learn. But the fact that we're sitting in Israel and we exist is a miracle. But they came to us. So they attacked. So when he comes and attacks you, you're much less likely to win. So if you ever you're ever a general and you want to be successful, so you have to you make the first strike. When you make the first strike, you're much more likely to be successful. So that's why in Parshas Baal Oscha, where it says you need to blow the trumpets and be remembered, the whole to do, it's because they're coming to fight you. So you're much less likely to win. But in Parshas Kiseitse, when you're going out to get them in their land, you're much more likely to be successful. So we were talking before about Reish Lakish. So what does Reish Lakish say? Lolam yargizadim yetzer tov al yetzer hara. You have to make the yetzer tov angry at the yetzer hara. Anyways, you have to realize it's a fight. There's two kochos within. We all feel the two kochos. We have the koch to do what's right, and we have the koch to do what's wrong. We have the koch to be lazy, and we have the koch to be active. We have the koch to be giving and generous, and we have the koch to be stingy and selfish. We all have both kochos within us. So we have to know that there's a war going on over here. Well, all them yargis, adam yetzer tova, yetzer hara. So there's a famous Torah of the Rabbi Mipshischa. He said in the time of the Torah, what was Pashup Shad in the Psukim? Pashup Shad in the Psukim was that the Torah is talking about wars. And on a deeper level, it's talking about the Yetzer Hara. But throughout all of our Golas, we didn't have an army. So then it turned around. The Pashup Shad is that it's talking about the Yetzer Hara. And on a deeper level, it's also talking about the army. So today, for all of us who are not soldiers in the army, we have to know that we're also, the Jewish people are called Tzvaos Hashem. So we're also the army of Hashem, and we have to know that we're in a war. And the war is there kochos of Ra, and there kochos of Tov. And the moment you realize you're in a war, you're much more likely to be successful. You realize that it's a challenge. You realize you have to overcome a challenge, as opposed to just going with your hergel. That's what Hanukkah is supposed to defeat, right? It says, Ad shetichle kal ragle d'tarmadoi min ashuk. That you light candles until there's no more regel in the shuk, the regel of the Talmudians. So regel, the Sfarim says, milashon hergel. Literally, it means that it's a nation, meaning you light candles until these people aren't on the street anymore, and then there's nobody to light for. There's no publicizing of the nace. But it could also mean until there's no more hergel. Hergel means habit, doing things by rote. We have to realize it's every time we go to davening, it's a war. What's the war? What's the war? Are we going to do this by rote? Are we going to take this seriously? Are we going to do it from the heart? Every time you learn, it has to be Mochamta Shel Torah. What's the Mochamta Shel Torah? You're fighting a battle. That's why you have to scream at your chavruz until he's like, can you scream my other ear? They're like, this ear needs a break. So it has to be a Mochama. And when you're learning, you're not supposed to be passive. It's not a spectator sport. You have to be in part of the Mochama. You're fighting against Abai, you're fighting against Rav, and you're fighting against the Rambam, and you're all fighting for the same team. Because you want to get to the emes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, but it has to be a Mulchama. So the third day is Baal Mulchamos. That's the day of Mulchama, and that's why this day is Mesugal. Of course, this day is special to beat your Yetzer Hara. So again, how do you win the Mulchama? First of all, you have to come upon your enemy, and second of all, we know what the Gemara says. We know the Gemara says that Omdos Hayu Aglenu B'Sharaych Yerushalayim, that our legs stood at the gates of Jerusalem. What gave our legs the power to stand? The gates of Jerusalem, which means that we were learning Torah. The Gemara says in Makos Adaf Yud. So we have to know that it's the spiritual power. There's no, like David Ben Gurion said, if you live in Israel and you don't believe in miracles, you're not a realist. Anybody who's a realist knows that we live on miracles. So where do the miracles come from? They come from our spiritual power. It's because Am Yisrael is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chosen nation. So to think that it's just a bunch of guys in green uniforms who are protecting us, and you even see today they can't protect us with this intifada that's going on up now, what are they going to do? You know, there are Arabs all over the place, and anyone at any time, you know, like some like 9-year-old girl, you know, her mother packs up her, things for school. He goes, okay, holla holla, this is your sandwich, yes? And this is like, a 19-inch long kitchen knife, either to cut up your sandwich or a Jew. You know, whatever you decide to do today. And there's no way to stop that. So what's the way we can stop it? So the way to stop it is Omdos Hayu Raglenu B'Sharaych Yerushalayim. We need the koch of the Torah. And the same thing applies to the Yetzer Hara. The Gemara says in Kedushin, most of you, a lot of you guys are learning, everybody's learning Kedushin. So I assume everybody is finishing Kedushin. So it says in the Gemara, Im Paga B'cha Menuvel Zeh, let's say this Menuvel meets you, what should you do with him? Drag him to the Beis Medrash. So I see people do that today. That's why guys have their iPhones on in the Beis Medrash. They bring the Menuvel with them in the Beis Medrash. But the truth is Pshat in the Gemara is the second he sees you in the Beis Medrash, he's not going to want to come with you. He's going to say, that's not for me. So he'll run away. The Yetzer Hara is going to run away. Because when you're in the Beis Medrash, that's the last place the Yetzer Hara wants to be. It says in the Rambam, Ein machshava sarayis mitzuyos, ela b'lev apanim min hachachma. Rambam hilchos ratzeach zayin aleph, I think it is. That the only time you have evil thoughts, a person has machshavas, probably, you know, you guys, maybe your friends have told you once, you guys are only in Torah, so you've never experienced this, but people whose thoughts are free of Torah, sometimes they have thoughts of girls and hirhurim and desires. So how do you deal with that? How do you deal with that? So first of all, 6 to 6:30, you go hang out with my friend Reb Aaron, and he's going to just teach you how to save the seed of the Jewish people. That's very, very kedai. You have a good yid who's running around handing out $100 bills to people who are careful about that. That's also good. But Besides that, you have the Koach of Torah. People are involved in Torah. The Geshmak of Torah is stronger than any other Geshmak. You know, you walk down the street and you think in learning, and then the pretty girl just, you know, she's not interesting to look at anymore because you're focused on this question. You want to have an answer. You walked out of Shir. The Rebbe left you with a bomb kasha on the Rambam. The Rambam's mom is straight away against the Gemara. It makes no sense. You're thinking and learning. A person who's immersed in Ruchnias has no time for bad machshavos. But the second the person's heart is empty of Chachma, that's the way the world goes, by the way. The second, it's interesting, the second people leave the Beis Medrash, second they leave Shiva Torah, the first thing that always goes is the Arayas. You know, you can see it. I don't have Facebook, but people have Facebook. No, you can see people's Facebook pages, guys who were in yeshiva and they were stark and they were learning. You know, their arms around the girl, and they have pictures of this and pictures of that. So you see, that's always the first thing that goes with girls also. The first thing that goes is they start wearing short skirts and they, you know, tznius goes. And then other things go after that. But it always starts with the inyanei tznius. So that's what the Gemara says. That in Pagah B'cham and Novel Zev, this Yetzer, particularly this Yetzer that we're talking about now, then bring him to the base of Medrash, and that's what calm him down. We have this fire within us, we have this passion. So instead of the passion being for forbidden things, the passion can be for permitted things. I always talk about people who are sports fans. What's the word fan short for? Fanatic. Like fanatic is a pejorative term, it's a derogatory term. He's a fanatic. Like he's a religious fanatic. So that's bad. But he's a Yankees fanatic, that's good. Or for a Binyamin, a Mets fanatic. Yeah, so, but a person has to be a fanatic. Everybody, by the way, everybody's a fanatic. You know the biggest fanatics are? Atheists. They're the biggest fanatics. They're fanatics, and you have religious fanatics, and then you have money fanatics, and you have, everybody's fanatical about something. You just decide what you're going to be fanatical about. So if you're fanatical about Torah, if you're passionate about Torah, then everything else falls by the wayside. So that's the Baal Molchamos. So in order to beat the Yetzer Hara, number one, you need to get your Yetzer Tov active, Yargiz. And second of all, you need the Torah. Who's the Shevet of, we're almost done. Who's the Shevet of the third day? What do we read in the Kriya? Every day is another tribe who brings their Karban. Very good. Today was Yisachar. Terrific. I'm glad someone paid attention to the Kriya. Tomorrow, every day, it's important to pay attention because that's the day. That's what defines the day. The day is defined by the Shevet and by the Nasi. So the third day is Zvulun. And Zvulun were actually warriors. It says, Samach Zvulun B'tzeisecha. And it says in the Unkelus there, Chadi Zvulun B'mipka Chagacha Krava. Zvulun enjoys going out to war. So the third day is the day of Zvulun, and it's the day of war. And it says in the Pasuk in Shoftim, Sefer Shoftim, Zvulun an Cherif Nafsho Lamos. So Zvulun were people of war, and also war of a Yetzer. It's interesting that when Leah had Zvulun, she said about him, Lo iskavanti l'shum tainug ela l'chvodo. When she had Zvulun, she said, when I was doing the act to have this child, my kavana wasn't for my own personal pleasure. It was only for his honor. That's what Leah wanted, the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Leah wanted to bring honor to Hashem and not for her own oneg. So that's an inyan of, that's the war. The war is that it's not about me and my own personal pleasure, but it's about something higher, and that's what she said about Zvulun. So Baal Mulchamos is connected Zvulun, because Zvulun is supposed to help us. Samach Zvulun B'tzeisecha. That when you go out to war, you're happy. You enjoy the war. That it says that in the Gemara, it says, Milchama Nami Atchalta Degula, Gemara in Megillah. A lot of you guys are also learning Megillah, that the beginning of the Geula is the Milchama. That's when the Geula begins. So the Sfasem is a famous Torah. We say in the David Hashem Ori, Bezos Ani Boteach. What does it mean? Bezos Ani Boteim Tachanei Elai Machaneh. If there's a camp that's sinning against me, Lo Yirali Bi, I'm not going to be afraid. Im Takum Alai Milchama. If there's a war against me, Bezos Ani Boteach. What's Bezos? So first of all, this Sfasem says Zos Chanukah. But that's for an eighth day of work. I'm not going to be around the eighth day. But, or maybe I will be actually here on the eighth day. So you can ask me on the eighth day, we can talk about Zos Chanukah. But what's the Bezos? In this I will have bitachon. What's the Bezos? So this Fasema says in the Milchama, that if there's a Milchama, I have bitachon. If I'm waging war, that's what gives me faith. Because we're happy just the fact that we're involved in the war. But some people gave up, they're not in a war. They just say to their Yetzirah, I'm in your hands, you can do whatever you want with me. So, but we have to know that it's a constant, and there are always going to be new challenges. That's what life is. Life is always being met with new challenges. So we have a Torah of the Moray Naim, and it's Rish L'Chanukah. He says, Chanukah is the Oro Shel Mashiach. Like it says in Tehillim, Arachti Ner LeMashichi. I prepared a Ner for Mashiach. What's the Ner? The Tzaddikim say, the Ner is the Ner of Chanukah. That's the Hachana, the Aricha, the Hachana for Mashiach. That's why we say in Oz, Rav Hutner says, in Moz Sur, we say, Ozek Mor Bashir Mizmor Chanukah Samizbech. What started on Chanukah is going to finish with Mashiach. That's why it's the last holiday before the long galus was Chanukah. Because that's the end, that's what's supposed to lead us, that's what's going to give us the koach until Mashiach. So, also Zvulun, in their portion, it says in the Gemara and Megillah, they had Tcheles. And how does Tcheles relate to Chanukah? Because it says, when you light the Chanukah menorah, you have to have a mezuzah on the right side, Ner Chanukah on the left side, and who's standing in the middle? The Baal HaBayis wearing his talis. And what does he have in his talis? He has Tcheles, or in the olden days. So therefore you see that Zvulun is had tcheles. They had the chilazon in their portion, that snail which, from which they extract the tcheles, and that relates to Ner Chanukah because that's the tcheles, and tcheles obviously is also to win the milchama, because it says that tcheles is the color of the sea, is the yam, and the yam is the kisei hakavod, and that reminds you of a kadosh baruch hu. So and that's also v'nizkartem lefnei Hashem Elokeichem, you're remembered in front of Hashem. So this idea of zikaron, which is what all the chagim are about, and Chanukah included. The idea of Zikaron being remembered in front of God, that's what helps us win the war. So our avodah this Chanukah, at least on the third day, is to know that we're in a war and everybody has different wars. Some people have issues with health sometimes. Some people have with money. Some people have with learning problems, with ADD, with ADHD. Some people have problems with roommates. Some people have family issues. Everybody has things that they're dealing with. And know that Bezil Seni Botech, that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu put you in the world. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't put you in the world to just eat the donuts and drink a coffee that David was so kind to take care of. Also, you also have to enjoy yourself. You also have to be b'simcha, Chanukah Yimei Simcha. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in this world to wage war and to be victorious in the war. We're called Yisrael. Why is Yisrael called Yisrael? Ki sarisa im Elokim v'anashim v'tuchal. So the Musa Svarim say, or Baruch Mordechai Zrachi in the Berakas Mordechai says, I'm sure other people also say it, that we're called sarisa im Elokim. We wrestled. We wrestled with the angel. Yisrael is called Sarisa. We're called after wrestling. And as you want to know what defines the Jewish people, we're a nation that wrestles. And it's about Tuchal. So why are we called Yisrael Chal? Ki Sarisim Elohim, that's Yisrael. But it's about Tuchal and you won. The answer is the point isn't the winning. In other words, whether you win or lose, you can't always be sure that you're going to win. But the point is that the Sarisa, just know that you're battling. And if sometimes you take a fall, so like Rav Hutner says in his famous letter, that sometimes you lose a battle, but you just have to make sure to win the war. Because sometimes you have battles and you fall in a battle here and there, but our life is about knowing that we're in a war, and it's winning the war, and it's being happy that Zvulun was happy when he went out to war because he knew that that was his purpose. And you see, that's the greatest simcha. The greatest simcha is to know that you had this yetzer, you had a negative feeling, you had a feeling of selfishness, you saw that last piece of schnitzel on the table, and you really wanted it, and you gave it to your friend. Yeah, you want to know everyone's going down to eat, and you do one more, say 5 minutes, I'm going to be a Ruchni person, not a Gashmi person, and I'm going to learn 5 more minutes, I'm going to chazer a few lines of Gemara, and then I'm going to go down and eat, and I'm going to get my stomach will be okay. And you see, the little things you do in life to overcome your yetzer will lead you a long way. So in that tzchus, we should be zelcha to win the milchama and mamish see nisim. 2, 3, 4. Ala nisi me ala porka me ala gura se ala shua se ala la moja se ala vosinu mayami mayami as manase ala nisi me ala porka me ala gura se ala shua se ala la moja se ala vosinu mayami mayami as manase ala nisi me ala porka me ala gura se ala shua se ala la moja. Allah needs to be all the more God, be all the good, be all the truth.
Na 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 na